amazing.
All right, it is 5:49, and I call this meeting of the Committee for Citizen Involvement to order. We're on, what's the date? On Thursday, October 26th, 2017. Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. I'm Emily Smith with the business community.
I'm Ken Pryor, member at large.
Bob Martin, city councilor.
John Boyd, planning staff.
Gary Walbotny, planning commission.
All right, so first item on the agenda is approval of the October 17th minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
Whoa.
Yeah, 5 pages.
Yeah. I'm going to go get my glasses and he gets start reading it.
And I called us out for tardy, you know. Man.
Okay, so, and this is the, is it the 17th?
Yeah, that was the 17th.
Okay. Thought I sent those up. While you're doing that.
The sense that it was a capstone event as far as transitioning projects, and I just couldn't cut stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's, if we would spin our wheels even more if we didn't have this.
I for our listeners, all of these meeting materials are available online, right? Or
will be available.
Will be.
We had some email submittals that are in the bigger packet.
Okay.
And those, I'll put a packet on Shauna's desk, so, and I'll ask her to put those online.
Perfect.
Do it right now.
amazing. Yeah, it's a big document.
No, no. My only comment would be that in that last meeting, it became more apparent to me that Public Works really has to be involved with this whole process if we're going to achieve any kind of early warning and engagement. That they've got to be able to be part of this whole process.
Yeah, that's tough because sometimes they can't do their work until they get the information, which causes the clock to start.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and adopt the minutes and we can talk about it. I'm ready.
Okay.
Do you have a motion?
Oh, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as read.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, minutes are approved. So moving on to citizen comments. There are no guests here tonight, so we'll continue on to the next item, working group composition to update commercial mixed-use code, report on outreach letter responses.
Can I do a quick intro and then I'll let you
all?
Of
course.
The packet you received has all the emails back and forth, so it's a bit thread-like, but you... we asked Courtney to check in with all the members of the stakeholder groups, and they've done that. And so what I've done to help you with the emails is all their suggestions, because I know the council wants to take action on this, and you all need a tool to consider. So I did a memo, and it's very short, sweet, to the point. And it basically says the CCI was asked to consider how to do a working group, and I did a draft recommendation, and this whole thing's just a draft. Mm-hmm. The group put together these purposes in one meeting and the goals, and so because the statute says we have to do purpose and goals, and then this stakeholder groups is the list you all put together. Emily gave me a correction, and so I have it. I thought I had it up here. Let me get it back. I had one of the names wrong.
Dan Gardner?
Yeah, she caught that.
So it's now
right away.
Michael, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
And so I can correct that very easily. I just wanted to get consensus before I changed it. But I thought that was pretty easy to do. Let's see. So I can remove Mr. Gardner's name, and then it would be the gentleman who, and that's the correct spelling?
It is, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And so we have no comments from the chamber. We have a recognition from Savannah Oaks and Robinwood. They've received it, but they are working on the outreach still. And so we have multiple suggestions for Bolton and for PC and Gail suggested Willamette, but I don't know that they've had a meeting, so I'll leave that there. So you can use this as a tool. You can say, nope, we want to go another direction. I just thought we could have a starting point, and that's what this is.
Yes, no, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful.
But now, do we have any of these where somebody's actually accepted?
Are these were the one, you know, I don't know how, like Bolton, for example, had three names. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they spoke to that at a meeting, and these were the three names that were volunteered. I don't know how the process worked. So, like for PC, I think you volunteered their names. Sure. I put their names up since you put gave me that email.
Know,
so, but you volunteer their names.
I saw
so,
that.
Yeah, let's just say it's not a perfect process. I just needed a starting point.
No, it's good. It's great.
So the letter that went out to them asked them to make recommendations, and some of them gave us more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So that means they gave for us to pick.
Well, in the case of the Planning Commission, Jim Farrell has expressed interest in the mixed-use transition zone, and so that's why his name is there. I didn't talk to him today.
We could assume that he did.
But you guys tag team, though.
Yeah, and then just thinking that I may need to be there initially, but or not. So.
Okay. And... Well, I don't know Catherine, but I know Roger and Alma, and you know, either one of them would be fine. I'd probably go with Roger or for me on Bolton if we're picking. No response from Robinwood. You say no comments about it.
Mr. O'Toole told Courtney he got the letter, but they haven't had time to have a meeting and talk about it, he said.
Okay.
But he just didn't give me an email, so I just wrote down what Courtney told me.
All right, well, we'll just wait to hear from Robin before we act then. Maybe next meeting, that'll be 2 weeks.
We should be able
to get that going. Yeah. Frustrating that it takes so long, but we'll get better, I'm sure, as time goes.
So, just process-wise, the mayor was hoping to have this on the council for the 13th, but if we don't have recommendations until the 7th, I don't know if I can hold that place, because they'll want information to get it to you all for consideration in the packet. Mm. So we might have to kick that out a week. Or unless you want to, you know the council, how that acts better than I. Because Kathy was saying for appointments, you don't do a full like agenda report, you do it as a business item. And so I don't know how much prep you guys need for that.
Well, I think, let's see, we would, if we have, we meet again on the, what is it, the 6th?
Yeah, this was scheduled for the 13th.
Okay, so we meet on the 6th and...
Oh, this committee.
This committee meets on the 6th.
The 7th.
The 7th. Okay, so we meet on the 7th. The council doesn't meet until... 13th. We should have a recommendation on the 7th. That'll give these others time to get their response, and we might want to bump it, ask them again. Then we will make our recommendation then.
What would be helpful if you could all look at this format during the off time, and if you want it changed or whatever, just whatever you like, whatever you hate, let me know, and I'll make whatever changes you ask for.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do this and the initiative to do that. As a memo going back to the council, I think it's fine. We'll want to get more. We'll get all the information that we had to the working group, the council. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
the staff.
This is just a set of the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's great. Good to hear from Robin.
Robinwood and Chamber.
Yeah, in the Chamber.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Is there anything else on that topic?
No.
All right, so moving on, the next item on the agenda is a continued from October 17th meeting, a planning process, continuation of problem identification and topic review.
So, picking up on what we were talking about, a minute discussion. I'm wondering if just for the sake of organization in the process, if we could identify, what do you think of the idea of identifying a milestone called review complete? And I think Russ kept wanting to call it something else. We talked about this a little bit.
Discrepancy or
what it is
adequacy with that argument there? Yeah, okay.
But what we the idea is to say to the city, if you're going to make changes, you've got to make them. You got to get them in by this point. You got to have your review done by this date. And maybe that's like 2 weeks after application complete. They have to, they have to describe the changes. And that gives us sort of at least a place to start in trying to manage changes. This gives us a little more order in there than the, because if we do that at that point, we have something everybody can take the time to review. You know that whatever you sit down and review for the hearing isn't going to change again. It should change again. And the consequences of changing it should be very dire.
Yeah. I guess I'm not that familiar with public works and everything that they do. I know it's building in Oregon is not like building in California where it's flat and but as a matter of record, though, is there information that's available, say, on a general basis? We know about the characteristics of a particular area of land, and we know things that should be, kind of four or five things that are you need to look out for, kind of a thing that Public Works could do a quick look and say, this is that particular area in Sunset or whoever it was, and you got to, really be careful about A, B, C, and D. And preliminarily, this looks okay. And as they get more information and more specifics, but at least it might help catch some early things like the traffic issue on that. The one where it was going to cost us $200,000 to put in streets. Is there that kind of information available?
I think that information could be flowing back and forth from pre-app on, and hopefully it will be. They're talking to planning, they're talking to engineering, they're having all these conversations. There's a point where they have given us the formal data, the formal reports on stormwater and traffic and those things. And at that point, that's going to be in the record. That's going to be part of the record because it's part of the application. Mm-hmm. What I'd like them to do is at that point, they've got everything that they need to know to move forward. If they have to make a change, we give them 2 weeks to make their review of it and suggest any changes. If they suggest a change, then the applicant who's already started the clock can say, well, I'm going to stop the clock so that I can respond to this change. Mm-hmm. Or they can say, I'm going to go ahead with this application without making that change. They can choose to do that if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But at least we've sort of confined the change. We've got this milestone that after that, nobody should be making changes. See, what I'm reacting to is we have two applications. One was the Con-Am, where our traffic department made a change right before the hearing. Mm-hmm. It said right turn only onto. I never want to see that happen again. No. We had on Sunset School. Earlier, but I'm not sure where it was in the process. They said change the water drainage system.
That change was made before it came to hearing.
Right. Yeah. But was it made after application complete. You know, I'm not sure. I know people have been looking at their drawings one way for 2 years, and then all of a sudden they see a different drawing.
I know the set of drawings and the application that the Planning Commission reviewed had the change in there with the
detention. It happened about the time the staff report was being crafted, which caused us no ends of consternation for the Planning Commission, because it required us to fast manner, address the change in plans, get the change in plan. And so, because you got the change of plans, you got, right. I think you got a role and then you got a replacement role, if I remember right. You got a role with the initial project, you got a replacement role, which we felt caused some confusion. And then we had to update the staff report. So, yeah. And then at the council, the mayor had expressed some concerns and wanted to see a change, and so there was another change based on what the mayor wanted to see.
Right, and those, once it gets to the hearings, the changes can be under conditions of approval. It's this window in there between application complete and the hearing. So when something changes, everybody's blind. And so if we have an application complete date, what we're saying is get your changes in by that date, and everybody can be updated at application complete and have the information going forward. So it's just a kind of a general suggestion on how we might try to handle our changes a little more orderly.
And I think Sunset School was a unique situation in that the Planning Commission didn't have any authority on stormwater at that point. We will again very soon. I forget the effective date on the new rules, but really soon. But in that case, I mean, we could ask questions, but we couldn't make any conditions, and so then that made it ripe for an appeal, and then to city council.
Again, as I say, my focus, kind of narrow here, is on trying to put some order in changes coming from the city. Because I think the changes coming from the applicant, we've got those sort of under control because, the applicant, if he's not making change, can control the plan. But if the city makes it, forces the change, I don't see how we can make this thing work if we allow the city to make changes a week before the hearing.
I think that the city should be involved with those design changes even before the completeness review, or before that completeness date.
Right.
And the only reason I say that is that the applicant is at a disadvantage because they have to address those changes, and depending on what the change is, that's a lot of design work, and it's cost, and it's just time consuming.
Right.
And so for everyone to meet the the performance requirements to have the design in place and provide the documentation back to planning, to the Planning Commission, and we can all review it before the hearing, it gets really jammed up.
Well, it helps the applicant, it helps the citizens.
Yeah.
It puts pressure, I guess, on the staff because now they've got 2 weeks to do what before they could have done all the way out until the hearing. So, what do you think about it, John? Is that fair?
I'm not sure the feasibility of it, quite honestly. Of having, and more of the bigger picture, of having a process that starts with a complete form and has no or little changes throughout the process.
They can make all kinds of changes, from pre-app all the way up, even now we're saying past application complete, they can make changes. Until review complete, they can make changes. So,
my comments were more addressed on for the hearings process.
I'll refer you back to the training and where we said application deemed complete does not address the quality of the application. It says, has the applicant submitted the required plans? And that answer is yes or no. Because in Oregon, the applicant has to defend their own application, so they need to provide something that they feel is ready to go. And so then that's where this iterative process you don't enjoy. Does this happen all the time? No, your point was, like Sunset School was sort of unique. For most projects, you don't see the level of review, and the process seems to go through fairly quick. But then there are those projects where these stories all come from, and you have these back and forths that nobody seems to enjoy. But it's as Tim says, Oregon land use is a give and take process, and change is part of that. And so it's just inbred in the process, because the applicant has the responsibility to, if issues are raised, they have the responsibility to address them. And that's why the statute allows for continuances for new information. I'll leave it there.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it's all right, it's all relevant, but the issue here is, again, just trying to create a little more order in the process by somewhat arbitrarily saying that changes have to happen by a certain date. It's sort of like when you're, writing a paper in your high school English class, and the teacher says you have to have an outline in by this date, and you have to have a first draft in by this date, rather than saying you just have to have the whole thing done at the end. Some people are going to wait until that last minute to write it, and so what we're doing here is trying to say to our staff that you don't have until the hearing to get your work done, it's more than just checking off did we receive the data. I mean, somewhere, I'm making the assumption, maybe I'm wrong here, that somebody is going to look at the content of the reports. Somebody somewhere in the city government is going to say this is an unsafe application.
Yeah, it does happen. I do understand that in my discussions. We had a meeting today where we discussed stormwater, as a matter of fact. And we got to the point of saying that they're missing information because they're not addressing X. Clearly that has to go in the completeness check. But part of the discussion was based on the quality of the mission, and I was in the meeting and I said, is that a completeness issue, or is that something where you would want to condition it at the Planning Commission? And the answer was, it's right there in the middle. So then I said, to me, it's clear. It's where you feel you need more information to determine whether this is adequate for review, ask them for that information. But if your mind is challenging the quality of the application, then you can ask them, I feel additional information is needed, but it won't affect the decision of completeness, but we would suggest you submit that information. We do that all the time. We give them a check-in on, here's where we feel your application's weak.
Okay, I want to dig into this just a little bit deeper, because there's a difference in my mind between saying, have you submitted the information, or have you submitted additional information is needed, in the act of taking that information and saying, yes, the traffic flow from this application will be okay. Yes, the stormwater from this application will indeed not present problems upstream or downstream. This information that's been given demonstrates that. So there's an evaluation of the information, not
way down the road.
Yeah, not the scope of the information, but the meaning of the information. Who does that? I've been making the assumption that our engineering staff and our public works staff, or is it public works? Our engineering
both the same,
staff.
Yeah.
Okay, that they take these applications and actually know what all those numbers mean, and say whether or not something's gonna be on an unstable hillside, or whether it's going to create stormwater problems, or whether it's going to create traffic problems, and then somewhere along the line they say this application is indeed safe, not that it's complete, but that it's safe. Now, does that actually happen?
It's kind of a feasibility, basically.
I heard the two of you talking about you really need to have Public Works to get a better grasp of that. I could give you what I believe happens. It'd be better to hear from them what they do. What I believe happens is they look at the material and they say, are these plans adequate so that when we do our check, we have all the information we need? Because they don't do the check. They look to make sure the components are there for the analysis they need to do.
When do they do the check?
As part of the completeness. That was one of the meetings we had this morning.
Okay,
we had a completeness check discussion.
They do actually do this check. They may ask for more information in the process, but they actually do this check.
Right. They'll either give a letter that says the information is incomplete because it's missing subplan X, Y, or Z, or they'll say that the information is weak in these areas and suggest that these areas be supplemented in the completeness process or conditions of approval be set. So they give the applicant heads up that you got weak points that we're going to challenge.
If an applicant gave you information that was as detailed as you can imagine on stormwater flow, as detailed as you can imagine, you couldn't ask for more. Okay. Is somebody going to take that information and look at it and say, this is not going to cause problems downstream or upstream?
I can't answer that because I don't know if they do it. I don't know. I'm only guessing. I don't believe because they pay consultants to do some check work. And so I don't know if they do that for completeness. I believe they do that prior to the end of the process.
Does somebody look at a traffic report? Kittleson gives us the traffic reports in the arrows and all that. And look at the growth we expect in the community in different areas and the anticipated loads on an intersection, and then make a statement that they put their name on that says, this will not degrade the intersection.
You're not going to like the answers, but Con Am's the best example. Is it took some time for the consultants to review the data, because the data for that was pretty complex, and that's what triggered the back and forth, because the city's consultant says, no, we need to see this. There was a hearing, people got upset, and so the planning commission said, no, let's look at this, and so they remodeled it, and that's what that back and forth happened. So, I think that Lance or Eric or Amy needs to speak to this for the exact answer, but I don't believe that higher level of review happens at completeness. I think that higher level of review happens during the review process, during the hearings process.
And I think that's what I'm getting at, is that, traffic is one area. Are there other categories that can be previewed and do a snapshot judgment on that's, typically, you can't, Tanner Drive or 10th Street is just a nightmare in terms of traffic. So anything that's suggested in that area should, red flags should go off. And people, we shouldn't have to wait way down the road. We should be able to say, okay, we've got these kind of constraints on, stormwater or whatever, because we know what those capacities are right now with nothing there. And so maybe it's estimating, but it's that heads up, and it comes back, and then people can see it. I think that's really fair for the developer as well. So,
I mean, if I were a developer, I would want the city's blessing on what I was doing. And if I'm a citizen, when something's built, I'm going to hold the city responsible if it's a failed building for some reason, if it violates one of these things, because the city has the regulatory authority. It's their responsibility to make sure that nothing gets built that's detrimental to the city, right? And the applicant's responsibility is to supply the information. And maybe the applicant has to prove it, that it proved that, but the city has responsibility in making sure that they have proved it. And when I say the city, I don't mean the planning commission. Because the we have this, we may or may not have the technical expertise on the planning commission or the council. Mm-hmm. So if we agree to all that, there must be a place in the process where that analysis is done by the city. And when that, and we need to be sure we understand when that happens, and hopefully have that happen shortly after application complete. You know, the closer that happens to application complete, the more time we have for citizens to review everything without changes. So this all is, I know it's a work in that, but it's the way I'm looking at it. And I'm not hearing a clear cut, yes, there is a time when that is done. But I refuse to hear anything else.
Well, and in fairness to Public Works, I only perceive the process as I see it, and there may be more happening that I'm aware of. And I mirror what you're saying, yeah. Is you really need to have some kind of feedback from Public Works and ask those questions and get the answers that are, quite honestly, more accurate than what I'm probably giving you.
Well, if we in general propose the idea of a review complete, that will at least stimulate that discussion in the working group, and they can go forward with that. So I wanted to make a suggestion here, because I'm very worried that we can talk about this stuff for a lot, and by moving forward with it, I know Russ has the spreadsheet, and this is just one little box on the spreadsheet, or one row on the spreadsheet. Would anybody be too offended if I created a draft of the output, you know, the section for just this one box on change or row of what I see as our output? So it would just be something that said, to the best of my ability, this is the problem. This is what we suggest in each of those three areas, including. I'll try to capture what I can, and then we can just start from that and delete and add to it, but it'll be a framework we can move forward with, and when we get that one, we can go on to the same way to get the others. Maybe somebody else will want to write so let's get one down where we know what we're talking about, what we're kind of shooting for and form, and then we can maybe everybody writes, you know, picks one that they want to write, and we can get this thing forward, because it's just there's not a lot of it that I want to say, no, this isn't important, we don't have to worry about it, but there's so much work here that, you know, it's going to go on.
Well, it's a big process, yeah. And it's all interlinked.
Yeah, but so if that's all right, I'll try to do that by our next meeting in 2 weeks. So.
Anything else on that topic?
Well,
no. All right. So, looks like we're on to member comments. So, anyone have any member comments?
Well, I'm glad that we're going to think about getting Public Works involved, because I think they're a big component.
When do you think it would be timely? From the sounds of it, let me just throw my thought out. Engineers are odd folks, and they don't deal in the conceptual very well. But if you had draft language, they could sure give feedback on, and on your questions. Will this work, and how, and why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe in the middle of the process, before you spend a bunch of time on it, when you really feel like the thoughts are really vetted out, that seems like that would be the time to say, either tell them to give your feedback in writing or see if they want to come and attend the meeting.
So do we want to do that here, or is that something that the working group should be tasked with?
That's a great question. I think you all talked about this, is what's more important for this group. Or
well, if we suggest that, we could suggest the, I mean...
The concept, I think.
And yeah, the concept of the milestone and all that would be almost administrative, because that relates to the city and how they do their work. In getting them to agree to the idea of an intermediate milestone in order to push the work towards the front. So I think once we have this draft, you know, that might be a vehicle for getting comments from the city on the administrative section. Okay. And then, you know, I'm hoping that the draft will give us most of what we need in the first part, where we're stating the problem, most of the background that they need, and then in the last section, we're talking about code changes, suggested areas of the code where there are problems, without saying this is what we think the language is to solve it, but just, I think the work group would benefit from having a guide to the code. Because if we convene a working group and it doesn't have a lot of, you know, people like us in it, and we say, here's the CDC, change it to do this, well, you know, it's overwhelming. Yeah. But I think that if we say, well, you know, these chapters would be ones to look at in order to accomplish these things, that... So it's really putting a lot on this document they got. Yeah.
I think they do need a draft or a template sort of things that we've thought of, and maybe they'll think of better things. But I don't think it's fair to just kind of dump it on them and expect them to have the same knowledge. And I'm trying to be careful of my own expectations
and
experience, because I worked with companies like Bechtel, and I was really kibitzing from far away. But when they looked at a project, you know, they knew exactly the piece of land that they were going to build on or whatever. And they had a profile of what that property could withstand in terms of geographic, you know, drainage, all that stuff. But that, you know, that's a humongous company. But I can't help but believe that, you know, you've got a confined, topography. And these guys are experienced. They should know Westland like the back of their hands, actually, by this time. And they know what, you know, in general. And there's got to be 5 or 6 or 8 things that they know that particular area is prone to. And we got to watch for that. And there shouldn't be any guesswork. I mean, the developer, he either covers those things or he doesn't, you know. And that way there's less surprises going forward. And I think it's just better.
You know, drawing on business experience, I worked at Tektronix years ago, and back when they were really successful, they had this thing called the NPI process, New Product Introduction. And it was amazing. In fact, they got away from it, and the company fell apart. But it was a list of questions, and if you were managing a project, you'd get to a particular milestone, and you'd have this meeting, and you'd have all representatives from all the departments there, and the project manager sitting at the end of the table sweating bullets, and there's some old guy at the other end, and he's got this new book, and he's asking these questions, you know, and he's just, and the project manager knows ahead of time what the questions are.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have his answers prepared. And if there's any weakness in the project anywhere, it comes up, you know. If you had some sort of a checklist like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect even Con Am, a big outfit like that, to know West Lynn. They're coming from wherever, California. And so you have to kind of educate them, too, in terms of what it is, the geographics of what they're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of outfits that I thought were pretty up in front, and they really didn't know a particular area.
Yeah.
And it helped to have a group that was, you know, familiar with the area, and they could tick off, you got to watch this, 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 and this.
Yeah, no, there might be room for that. That's a good idea. if I can go back to one other topic that we discussed last week in the early part of the meeting, it was, this transfer of knowledge that we talked about. And we talked about, well, do we, you know, the CCI, should we be the working group, or should we, if we have a separate working group, should it, how do we transfer the knowledge to them? And, you know, one idea we didn't really consider too, I mean, we don't want the CCI to just be the working group, because there are other points of view, like you said, that aren't represented.
Exactly.
But we could have a working group that contains the CCI plus these other points of view, mm-hmm. a little bit larger. And once we got into that phase of the work, we might just have the CCI meet once a month.
Back off for that particular project.
Yeah, we can meet once a month because we got other things to do.
Yeah.
You know, but then the working group meetings would be able to focus on moving code forward. And I don't know, does that sound like a desirable approach?
I think you almost have to, because I'm not sure what else is on the agenda in terms of tasks for CCI to perform, but this seems pretty important. And if we have to spend time getting this core group up to speed so that they look at our draft and they know where our heads were at and where we're thinking, then it should be a lot easier. And then as they grasp the project, maybe you do have to bring in staff and, you know, checkpoint with them as well to make sure that we're all kind of in sync. And then once they've, you know, we feel comfortable that we can back out, you back out, because then that transfers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people don't have to stay in a large group like that. You can certainly have people dropping out.
Yeah.
Staying as their interest is there. Well, let's keep that idea around.
I really like that idea, because as we've talked a lot about kind of the transfer of knowledge, and that seems like a pretty good solution to it.
Yeah, I mean, we got more knowledge of the process on this committee mm-hmm. than we had, you know. Well, good. Did you get that idea now? That was, so that's my member.
Yeah. I might have jumped the gun a little bit.
So, yeah, well, I support that.
Good. Guys,
are there any other member comments? Okay. Well, the only member comment I have is a reminder that the October 31st meeting has been canceled, and our next meeting will be November 7th, Tuesday, at 5:30 p.m. at the Rosemont Room here at City Hall in West Glen.
Great.
Anything else?
Well, happy Halloween, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's 6:42, and we are adjourned.
Wow. That's history.
Out of here.
Yeah. My goodness. Oh. Ooh. Well, I feel good, except that I took. You know, we were out here early because I